Welcome back to the Book of Proverbs. We are in chapter 29 as we head towards the end of the book. Joining me once again back in the studio, Peyton Jones and Chase Acuna, two of my favorite Bible teachers. We got a chapter full of wisdom, so I'm going to let Peyton start us off right at the top, verse 1. Peyton, what do you have for us?
Whoever remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. Stiff-necked is a term that refers to cattle. When an animal's stiff-necked, they can't be guided, so they end up as hamburgers. Farmers don't mess around. If an animal is not useful in one way, they'll be useful in another. This proverb is a warning that if we remain stiff-necked after many rebukes and can't become a good example, we'll be made an example of. In other words, we'll become an example of what not to be, what not to do. Your life can be destroyed without remedy at any moment. And if you've been going down a path, ignoring many rebukes, it only takes one moment, one bad decision, one fit of temper, one act of rage, one indiscretion, one flash of dishonesty to completely destroy your life. Ask anyone who's in jail, and they'll tell you they didn't listen to the advice of others, and then one day, one decision ended it all.
Now, of course, that doesn't mean there is no room for redemption, but there are consequences for being stiff-necked again and again. There will come a time. Powerful verse. Chase, you're going to skip us ahead a few verses. Take us to verse 11.
Verse 11 says, "Fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end." Now, no matter who we are, the truth is we can all get angry at times. Sometimes for justified reasons, sometimes not so much. I realize even as I mature, I still get angry at times. It's just usually for better reasons than it once was. Now, I love how this proverb makes it clear, though, that it's not wise to let go of one's anger to the full extent. Or as the proverb says, rage. Why? Well, James says, because the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And when someone is at the state of rage, they're not usually thinking about the consequences that might follow ahead. The wise, on the other hand, consider things from a longer view with an aim to win the relationship rather than just the argument.
That's really good. I think it's important to remember that anger itself is not the sin. It is how you respond. Anger is an emotion. It's a natural response to some of the events of life. Fools give full vent to their rage. I love the visual imagery that Proverbs gives us. There is a vent control on your anger, a valve that you can open or close when you get angry. And we do need that valve. We all realize that burying our feelings can make them worse. But if you are the kind of person that cranks that valve to full open vent at any time, you are a fool. There is the right time and the right way to process the anger. If you hit full vent, guaranteed, you will say things that you regret. But the wise bring calm. We've all seen this at work, at the game. Sports can really bring out the anger in us. The worst sometimes, sadly, are the parents. We do this. We let the competition get the better of us, and we let anger fly. But we've all seen when that one wise person speaks calm. There's something so graceful and powerful about the calm words of the wise. Now, moving forward, chapter 29 has a few strong themes that weave throughout. One of them is kings and rulers. And the focus here is on how the king's rule affects the people. Let's start off at verse 2. When the righteous thrive, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people groan. Now, at the heart of this one is the people. The people of the kingdom rejoice when the righteous, the ones doing right by God, are thriving. We want the good guys to win. But when the wicked rule, when corruption gains power, people groan. It's so frustrating. It's miserable for everyone. It makes everything more difficult. And look at verse 4. By justice, a king gives a country stability, but those who are greedy for bribes tear it down. This one really hits the heart of it. Justice gives a nation stability. What a gift that is. Solid ground. Just leaders give this to their people. But then it says, those who are greedy for bribes tear it down. Corruption destroys. Greedy leaders literally tear down their own country from the inside, like termites. And the nation under their rule has no stability. Now, each of us may be more or less politically inclined, and that's okay. But the lesson here affects all of us because the character of the ruler affects everyone. Life is better with just leaders. And first world nations should not point the fingers too quickly when so much of the world's corruption started with imperialistic greed. As for the Bible, kings and kingdoms form one of the mega themes of the whole book. And the bigger Bible picture is Jesus, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. His throne will be established forever, and he will rule with a scepter of righteousness. No corruption, no injustice. That is God's plan for us.
So good. Now, maybe because of bad leadership or maybe just pride, but I think many of us struggle at times, including myself, with being under authority. Yet, I love how you pointed out, Chris, God's rule has no corruption, no injustice, and rules in complete righteousness. Heaven is heavenly because of his complete kingly rule over it. And maybe to many of our surprises, I think we'll find being completely under his rule is actually the best thing ever for us.
That's good. And speaking how we respond to God, Chase, why don't you take us down to verse 25?
Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts the Lord will be kept safe. Think about this. Has fearing what someone else might think, do, or say ever kept you from honoring the Lord somehow? If you guys are anything like me, that's a yes to all three. Maybe this fear has kept you from praying for a coworker who is going through something challenging. Maybe from calling out a friend who is slandering another friend behind her back. Or maybe sharing about what Jesus has done in your life when a relative asks if you're religious or not. This is because the fear of man works a lot like a trap, this proverb points out. Do you want to escape that trap? Then our fear of God must become greater than our fear of others.
That one is Wisdom 101, and I love the visual imagery again of a snare. When you fear man, it's like something is wrapping around your ankle. It will trip you up. Good stuff. Peyton, what do you think on this one?
Well, I go back to church history where John Knox was a walking, talking example of this. Mary Queen of Scots once remarked about John Knox, "I fear nothing more than that man's prayers." And John Knox used to have a maxim that said, "Fear God and you will never fear anyone else."
That's very good. And actually, speaking of an audience with a ruler, Peyton, you have the very next verse at 26.
Many seek an audience with a ruler, but it is from the Lord that one gets justice. So often we seek from people what we can only truly get from God. Religious people aren't immune to it either. It's said of the Pharisees that they sought the approval of men rather than God. Many seek the audience of a ruler or someone who can advance their cause or career or give an easy win. But Proverbs gets us realigned with God himself. We can depend on men, or we can fully trust the Lord. And besides, men can only get us so much justice. A ruler can make someone pay for their crimes by fining or jailing them, but nobody will ever escape the full justice meted at the hands of God. Justice may come at the end of the ages and not before, and no man can bring that about. No, it is from the Lord that one truly gets justice. When God is the ultimate judge at the end of time, he will see to it that justice is finally and fully meted out. That means nobody ever gets away with anything. But also true, for us as believers, we have the amazing knowledge that in Christ, justice was met fully at the cross, and justice was fully satisfied after Christ paid the full penalty for our sins.
You know, this one to me is much easier said than done. When you need justice, when we feel driven to find it and we seek audience with the ruler. But it reminds me of that beautiful passage, Psalm 121. I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from you, maker of heaven, creator of the earth. You know, seeking a conversation with the person in charge, it's understandable. The right person can really change the whole situation for you. I don't think the verse speaks against that, but true justice is from the Lord. We have an open invitation to speak directly to the one in charge. And I have two final verses that speak again to rulers about justice and what righteous rule looks like. Starting at verse 7, the righteous care about justice for the poor, but the wicked have no such concern. The righteous care, plain and simple. It starts with caring, care about justice. To be righteous is to be right with God. It is the goal, the purpose of the gospel. Jesus died for our sins to give us his righteousness. And now our life is about becoming righteous. So as a believer, we care about justice for the poor because that's righteous. It matters to God, so it matters to us. So check yourself. Do you care? When you hear stories about refugees being ripped off, the poor being taken advantage of, sweatshops that sacrifice their workers at the altar of greed, do we care? And of course, we can ask the question, does God care? Absolutely. And I think verse 14 speaks both of good kings and of the one truly good king. 29:14, if a king judges the poor with fairness, his throne will be established forever. That should be any good king, but most importantly, that's Jesus. His throne will be established forever, and he does care for the poor, and he judges with fairness. Well, guys, that's all the time we have for Wisdom in 29. Take some time to read Proverbs 29 for yourself, and we'll meet you back here at chapter 30.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.